on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
Welcome to the Sportscast, May 24th, 2024. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. Visit us on thesportscast.net. Also, follow us on X at the Sportscast One, also Instagram, the Sportscast One, and check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. The Boston Celtics go on a 2-0 run. Haliburton is a little bit injured, and the Mavs are going at it on game two tonight. And join us all the way from the Northeast, Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
And it's good to be here. And yeah, we're in the midst of some very crucial playoff basketball games.
Crucial playoff basketball, and this round is very significant. Some say the semi-final round was also pretty tight. But let's start first from last night with Game 2, where the Boston Celtics ripped off a 20-0 run to take the lead from the Pacers. Ultimately, cruising to a 126-110 game two win 2 days after miraculously game one victory. Jaylen Brown, Ryan, had 40 points, and it's clear Indiana doesn't have a good option to slow him down. But the Celtics are 2-0. Everyone's calling them the favorites to come out of the East.
Oh, yeah. I mean, East, they're probably favorites to win a championship the way it's going, you know.
Wow, coming from a Mavs fan.
Well, it just they've been here before, and they've got, you know, experience with Tatum and Brown and Horford. These are guys that have been around, you know, very close to winning it in prior years. And I mean, this with the East and the way it, you know, shaped up this playoff, you know, when are you going to get the chance to, you don't have to face any of the marquee teams at the healthiest. So they're healthy. They're strong. You know, there's nothing wrong with the Pacers. They've had a great year. And, you know, they're not saying they can't come back. They're down 2-0 to the Knicks, so they could come back. But missing that game one victory could come back to haunt the Pacers. And the Celtics just had their number last night. That's for sure. Jaylen Brown was awesome. That second, you know, and that first quarter run, you know, that really separated them. And I guess right now we're really looking at Haliburton's injury. If he can come back strong in game three, I think the Pacers have a shot. We can make this competitive series, but if not, I think the Celtics, you know, will move on to the NBA Finals.
Tyrese Haliburton, as Ryan mentioned, left game two with a left hamstring soreness and did not return at all. Rick Carlisle said Halliburton's hamstring has been bothering him at halftime, but he wanted it to give it a go. That obviously back.
Yeah, I mean, tired. This is something I feel like he struggled with at one point earlier this year. He was, you know, missed some time with some hamstring issues, so it's nothing new for him to be having.
Yeah, he missed 10 regular season games because of this hamstring.
Yeah, so we'll see how, you know, I'm sure he'll get some treatment, you know. If the Pacers are going to win, I mean, Haliburton's kind of the engine that gets that going, you know. The way he plays, you know, with pace and, you know, able to get the Pacers going is awesome. You know, and you can really feed, you know, the shooters around them. But the Pacers, you know, Pacers are a tough team. You know, they're not going to give in, and they're going to keep fighting no matter who's out there.
Can the Pacers team do it without Haliburton, Ryan, or they're a like they just can't do it without him?
It's tough, you know. I mean, they're gritty, you know. I mean, kind of you got players like T.J. McConnell can come off the bench, you know, they have Nahar. But, like I said, Halliburton is, he's really just kind of the engine that gets this team going, you know. So, no, I really don't think they could win the series. I think they can be competitive without him because of their toughness, but to win the series, no.
I remember having you on the show, and we talked about the trade of Pascal Siakam to the Pacers. And I said, Ryan, is this something special, or there's nothing to look here? And I think you're right. It was special. This was a major trade that helped them actually beat the Bucks and the Knicks.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, I mean, Pascal Siakam has been awesome for the Pacers. You know, he's a player who has won a championship with the Raptors. Knows what it takes. He's kind of that oddly take guys, you know, in the sense of, you know, is he a forward? Is he, you know, he gets mismatches, but, you know, if he gets, you know, a bigger player, he can, you know, he'll drive past him. If he gets a smaller player, he'll post him up. You know, you can get the shots you want pretty much at any time. So, but again, his success is a lot bigger, though, with his you know, ability to work with Halliburton. So,
there's definitely a dynamic there. Yeah,
so, I mean, like I said, they've got a lot of pieces with the Pacers. It's just a matter of Halliburton's the one that kind of ties it all together.
Exactly. We'll see what Indiana Pacers does. Game 3 is tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern for it is 8:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow on this Memorial Day weekend. Let's go into the Celtics, actually. Before we go into the Mavs, I want to point out Jason Tatum. As we said, Brown had 40 points. Jason Tatum and Derek White had 23 points each. And Drew Holiday had 10 assists. But this team is rolling, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, like I said, you know, they got a quality team with great experience, you know, leadership all around. You know, they're focused on one thing, and that's, you know, getting to the finals and ultimately winning. And like I said, you know, they just didn't have the competition right now in the East to really. All year, you know, you're building up, you know, what is it going to be? The 76ers, they started so strong with Embiid, and then they had an injury. Then the Bucks never really got to be healthy in the playoffs with Antetokounmpo and Lillard being hurt. And then you got the Knicks who are literally falling apart with injuries, you know. So, this is their time, you know, Celtics, to get it done.
Which I want to ask you, because I know you're a Tom Thibodeau fan. What happened to the Knicks? Some say that Thibodeau does not do well with time management with these players. He keeps playing them until they get injured.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but when you're talking about playoffs, I mean, you're going to ride your guys until they can't anymore. And they had injuries before that. So I think it's just a matter of bad luck. Yeah, I mean, the Thibodeau in a regular season, you know, compared to most coaches, yeah, he probably plays his players more than what the others do. Is that wrong? I mean, that's a strategy. I don't, you know, I know the players kind of banter in the public about it. I don't know how they really feel, you know. Something like Josh Hart literally plays, you know, in the regular season, you know, 40 minutes plus the game, which is crazy, you know, that a player in the regular season, you know, would play that significant time, you know. I mean, is Brunson playing 48 minutes a game going to make his hand, you know, get broken? No, it's just bad luck, you know. Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of things going for them in general. The Knicks, you know, this is a team that has built their identity around Brunson and blue collar. You know, they got to figure out, you know, who they want to keep and who they want to build with, you know, and who they want to acquire in the offseason. But, yeah, the Knicks in general are heading in the right direction for sure.
Keep in mind, audience, Ryan did not say Julius Randle.
Yeah, I mean, that's a piece they got to figure out, Santiago. they didn't really
major
drop
piece.
Off once they got injured. You know, that's the thing. You know, I think I mean, Julius Randle is a great offensive basketball player, a good basketball player, and for all I've heard, a good teammate. Is he a championship player? I don't know. Because like I said, I didn't, you know, I know his injury was kind of simultaneously with OG and Abby acquiring him. So, which, you know, he was, what, 26-5 in games that he started and played with the Knicks? So, I mean, he was a winner. So, we'll see if they're going to use Randle as a bargaining piece to get more pieces, you know, or they're just going to try to build with him. So, again.
Did I hear Devin Booker from you?
I didn't say it, but yeah, it's kind of the big rumor, you know. The Suns got some major... Major roster questions.
Implications. So, KD, new coach coming in?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Budenholzer is an awesome coach. Kind of gets a... This is a guy who, you know, was the ultimate winner in Atlanta, gets fired. Goes and all he does is win the NBA championship. And two years later, after winning 60 games, still gets fired. It's a tough world, you know.
Coach Bud.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, you know, what he can do in Phoenix. But, yeah, I definitely feel like the Suns got to do something with that roster. It's just a little too top-heavy. They got kind of exposed in that playoff, you know, when you don't have any depth.
Exactly. And of course, we're all been talking about those Brooklyn trades a couple of years back. Who's winning, Phoenix or the Mavericks? I will have to choose the Mavericks so far, but we'll see what happens. Mavericks outscore Minnesota 26-22 in the fourth quarter to secure the 3-point win over the T-Wolves. It was the final score was 108-106, I believe. No, 108-105. The Mavs are up 1-0, 108-105 in Minneapolis. Mavericks coming off fresh. The T-Wolves had a heck of a series, given to being the Nuggets and Jokic, that was tough. But there's a lot to talk about here, a lot of drama. Kyrie Irving, 2016 Kyrie Irving. Ryan's happy, but he has reservations. What did you think about game one?
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, I am ecstatic, you know. There's one thing, the Mavericks keep advancing the playoffs. They've lost five straight game one, so actually winning game one this series is the unusual feeling for a Mavs and a Mavs fans to be feeling, you know. Yeah, it was a great team effort, you know. And that's always been in the playoffs. I mean, you're going to talk about two names, Kyrie, Luka. You know, they're kind of the...
Who would have thought?
I mean, they work very well together, you know.
The best backcourt in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, they do well in the sense that they don't necessarily play together, but they because they're both kind of the same player. They just, you know, they know when to go and when the other one is, you know, and the other one when the other one isn't going, the other one takes over, you know. First half, you know, Kyrie kind of carried it, you know, 23 points in the first half. And then Luka came in the second half. Yeah. That's considering the guy had averaged, I think, 4.6 points in the first half the last year. So he came on strong, and that's what they needed. You know, the Wolves were playing with a lot of energy coming in after that big, you know, like you said, that big playoff series when the Nuggets.
Well, some say whoever was the winner of that series might win it all, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think we're going to get different Wolves team. That's how they would play. You know, they're going to make adjustments, you know. The Mavs have a little bit more time to kind of game plan for the Wolves and rest up. So I think that kind of showed in the second half, too. If you hear announcers, I mean, Anthony Edwards is dog tired. At the end of the game, he just didn't have the legs, you know, that he normally has. So
he's 23 years old, and he said he's tired?
Yeah, I mean... Well, that's the issue, you know, with the Mavs. You know, when you play against the Mavs, one of the players has got to play. You know, if you're going against Kyrie and Luka, you know, you're spending a lot of energy guarding those guys because it's not easy, you know. But You know, the Mavs had a great defense against Anthony Edwards. You know, made him, even the points he got, he had to make tough shots, he had to work hard. So, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I know the Mavs, the Wolves are going to come out, firing. The Wolves are a very hard team again when they got players like Jay McDaniels hitting shots. Because when you've got scorers like Towns and Edwards, it takes usually more than one person to stop those guys. So then when you're helping off on other players, those other players are hitting shots, hell, same thing with the Mavericks. When you've got players helping out off of, players like P.J. Washington, they're hitting those open shots, it's big. And that's, that's the reason why the Mavericks are succeeding so much in the playoffs. They're role players like Derek Lively and Daniel Gaffer. They're coming out huge, and it's a big deal.
Big deal. As Ryan said, Jaden McDaniels scored 24 points. That's a big help by the Mavericks. And then, of course, the Mavericks were able to hold down Anthony Edwards to 19 points. Let's touch up on the Nuggets. Obviously, a team that supposed to be winning back-to-back, the new dynasty, but that did not happen. Jokic said that Minnesota was built to beat the Nuggets. What are your thoughts over this team? Were they gassed out? Is that the excuse? They played till June last year, and that's why they were not able to beat Minnesota?
I don't know that, but, Minnesota is that team has taken a while to put this team together, grow up, and they brought in some good pieces, like a Mike Conley to come to lead them. Yeah, you could say they had a good recipe to beat the Nuggets. I don't know if they're a team that was built just to beat the Nuggets, but I don't know. The Nuggets are a great team.
Having games.
Yeah, it is a weird series. There was no really close games in that.
And then a lot of the road teams were winning.
Yeah, the first four games the road team won by a lot in those games too. Like I said. Yeah, the Nuggets are great. They're still going to be great next year. I just wouldn't put them in.
Well, they need
category
to add a piece, Ryan. They have to have a piece or something.
I don't know if they do. We can see what's happening. They got, Murray. They got Jokic. They got Porter. They got Gordon. Those are a good core players. Yeah, you can have a little bit more quality depth, maybe, but I don't see where they go from there, because that's still a great, great core to build with. But the West is tough. There's no easy games night in and night out. I just think all these teams in general are just kind of tired by the end of the year. It's because even your bad teams aren't bad, I think in the East is a lot more top heavy than the West. The bottom of the East is definitely not the quality that you see in the bottom of the West. So your day in and day out games, there's nothing easy, and it's really, and that's why you see a lot of coaches. I know people don't like to talk about rest and roster management, but this is why, because it's a long season and it's a lot of minutes, and if you can pick and choose a night to give a player rest or maybe not play him as much, you got to take advantage of that.
Which there is an NBA rule with resting your players, and that you got to play a minimum of 65 to win the MVP. I think that might have had a toll this year a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that's, at the end of the season when injuries are, we get into the playoffs and
it's gonna
you're
happen.
Looking at the players that weren't available or, weren't playing, you could point to that rule. In general, and I'm looking at the NBA from a 30,000-foot view, you look at the four teams that were remaining. Yes, Boston's got their core. It's kind of a known brand. Tatum and Brown have been playing together for a while. I don't know if they are – Yeah, they're good, and I don't know if they're polarizing, but I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is a one in a few years, you don't got any Curry, no LeBron.
All the old guys. No
Yeah,
Durant.
it's really, yeah, no Durant. You really have a turning of the new leaf here, Luka and Anthony Edwards. I'm really interested to see,
Kyrie.
what,
Kyrie's
yeah,
the
and
only old
Kyrie's
guy
out
left
there.
over.
To see how the general NBA fans, casual basketball watchers will tune into, when one of those two teams faces most likely the Celtics in the finals, what the ratings will be, what the what
Ryan, are you
anticipation.
saying a Kyrie Irving returning to the TD Garden for revenge?
Yeah, I mean, there's some storylines there. I just,
Hip short
I think
tether too.
we've been so used to, even you take a team like Milwaukee. Obviously, Milwaukee is Midwest, kind of a boring-ish city in the sense of it doesn't. You say Milwaukee, no one's gonna be like, oh, that's not New York, that's not Chicago,
I'm not gonna
but
vacation
you
there
have.
and sightsee.
Oh, in Milwaukee, I don't recommend it, Santiago. But that's to hear for another story. Unless you like beer and cheese, that's all there is.
That's pretty much it.
But that's for another ballpark chasing, episode we can do. But you when you have, Jan Antetokounmpo, it draws people in. So when you went to the finals, you had decent ratings because you had those. Last year you had Miami. I know Miami. Just in the name sense is going to draw people in. Yes, I don't think Miami and sense is a very,
By the way,
luxury team to watch. You know what I mean? They're not glamorous in any
Tyler
stretch, but yes.
Hero has put his house on sale.
Oh, yeah, I mean that's here nor there, but in the sense of
There's noise.
Miami itself is going to draw people into the finals, even though. I don't think they're as fun team to watch as any of the four teams that are left here. But even though they're playing Denver, who is, again, playing with players, Jokic is not, even though he's a household name for NBA fans, maybe not for the casual fan. So, in long term, I don't know how this is going to translate into drawing new fans into the NBA here, whatever, whenever we get to the finals. But for basketball fans, I think we've got some, new blood in, and it's exciting, especially as a Mavs fan. But even if they don't move on, you still got a really cool story in Minnesota, how they built this team up.
Yeah, and then of course there's question marks about Anthony Thomas, right? Him leaving. I mean, no, sorry, not what's it called? Oh, not Anthony Thomas. One of
Anthony
the,
Edwards?
yes, Anthony Edwards. Sorry.
Oh, I don't know if they'll wait.
Not
I think.
Anthony Edwards. The other guy.
Car Anthony Towns?
Yes, Cat.
Oh yeah, I mean I don't know what his long term future is, but I think they'll try to keep him around. This is a guy who's kind of waited for his opportunity. He's patient with the organization. This is a former number one pick who worked hard. Even when the teams weren't that great, stayed loyal to them. So I mean, I think the franchise wants to. In return, make him maybe not the centerpiece of the team, but a focal point for years to come.
All right. Well, we'll see the future. As Ryan said, he's looking at Minnesota, perhaps OKC, who challenged a bit the Mavs, but they might be
Yeah, I mean
the
that's
team of the
really,
future, right?
yeah. Like I said, this is a team that was a bottom feeder 2 years ago, and they took their time, they built up, they're patient, they have a plan and working. And the thing is that they were the number one team in the regular season, yet they still hold so many assets to improve their team if they want to. With draft picks, they really, the sky's the limit for the Thunder, because they got their franchise players, I think, and
They got,
Jonas
they're all on
Alexander
rookie contracts so
Holmgren.
far.
Yeah, and Jalen. So, I mean, when you got, they kind of got their big three right now. It does remind a lot of people back to the victory of, you know, of Harden, Westbrook, and Durant years ago. It's just going to get these people to stay here for a long time, and that's where we'll see.
Which, Kevin Durant, I heard he might go back to OKC.
I don't know what Kevin Durant's going to do. again, like I said, the Suns have some decisions to make. I think they'll unload one of those three stars. I don't think it'll be Bradley Beal because they know I'm going to take on his contract. So I think that's most likely, and the most friendly contract to get rid of would probably be Booker. But that's a guy they've kind of organizational ties for a while. He was drafted by them. So we'll see. There's no easy answer for the Suns to fix their problems.
There you have it. Another sports, business, financial topic to talk about, contracts and all that. And we have not gotten into the NFL. That's a whole different ballgame. All right. So staying in the NBA, the Cavaliers dismiss head coach J.B. Bickerstaff after the team's second round loss to Boston. I thought Cleveland was doing well, but a lot of the Cavs fans are pretty excited about this news, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. The Cavaliers all did well. It's kind of a sale team. You know, they weren't, you know, they had an exciting player, but maybe not an exciting team to watch.
They struggled. They struggled against the Magic.
Yeah, they struggled. Yeah, I mean, this team, they won seven games against the Magic, you know, and then just never really were in it the last round. So we'll see what happens. You know, I know they ran into, you know, with no Donovan Mitchell. But, I mean, they have to figure out what they're going to do with Donovan Mitchell before they figure out what they're going to do with the coach. So kind of disgruntled there, you know, as we kind of refusing to sign a long-term deal. So this is a kind of – I don't know if Bickerstaff is like, this might be a blessing for him because – they're one step away from rebuilding this franchise over again. So,
really?
They're definitely, yeah.
The writing is on the wall.
They can't sign Mitchell. You know, they have pieces, you know, with Allen and Mobley and Garland. But those, you know, you don't have a franchise player, you know, something to build around. So we'll see what the organization decides ultimately on Mitchell. Are they going to roll with him one more year?
Who do you think will be a good coach there for the Cavs?
It really all depends on what they're going for. They're trying to do this one year and try to win as much as they can with Mitchell, or they're going to trade him and start over. So until they decide, that's what I said, they can't really decide on the fate, you know, what type of coach do you want, the developmental coach? You're going to build it, rebuild your identity.
How about a person like Frank Vogel or like Adrian Griffin?
Oh, no, please, no. Adrian Griffin, yeah, he got an unfair shake, that's for sure. But, how many times are you going to keep giving a job to Frank Vogel? I mean.
He was good with the Pacers.
He was all right, yeah, he's fine. I think he's, he wasn't that great with the – I mean, he won the bubble championship with the Lakers, which is fine. It counts. But beyond that, I mean, they struggled. They struggled mightily, you know, with, the Suns this year. So, I mean, he had his time. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. That wouldn't be the first person they call.
If Ryan was GM, he would not – make that phone call to Frank Vogel. Anyways, the Broncos, I know it's a couple weeks back, they selected Bo Nix, quarterback at round one, pick number 12. Your thoughts on that? Is that the future of the Broncos, or this is just let's see and see what happens?
I don't think you're drafting me in 12th pick just to see what happens. I think this is the guy that wants to win. I guess the question is when he becomes a starter, not if he becomes a starter, you know. Days before the draft, you know, they go and trade for Zach Wilson. Obviously not. With this pick, there's a
– which could be a challenger for that quarterback number one position. You never know.
Yeah, definitely for this year. I mean, the reason why you pick Bo Nix is that his upside might not be as high. His ready to play because he plays so much college football.
He does have experience, a bit,
yeah. He has experience. He's older. He's
but
mature.
Does it giving you the Kenny Pickett vibe?
No, not really. I think Kenny Pickett, I don't know. I think there's a lot. I think we thought Kenny Pickett was a different type of person.
A lot of experience.
And then actually being a lack of maturity at times, and not the
leader.
Yeah,
was not a
leader
in a locker room, I heard. Yeah, he wasn't like a leader.
Yeah. No. I you're definitely not going to get that, I think, for Bo Nix. You're going to get, from day one, he's going to take charge. But then you also got a player like Jarrett Stidham, he's got tons of experience. Played last year for the Broncos. I know Sean Payton likes him, so I mean, we're talking about a team that's got a lot of holes and a very tough division.
Probably going to win it again.
I mean, we're talking in May, and I don't want to say I'm throwing away the season, but the way they've gone about the offseason makes you feel like they're not really ready to win right now. A part of that issue is that, yes, they recycled Bo Nix, but you're on the hook for so much. The damage to Russell Wilson was tremendous in the sense of they gave up picks, and now they're stuck in salary cap purgatory because of him, so they weren't really able to add a necessary, players in the offseason that fill in the gaps. So this team has got a lot of holes. It's not going to be a great season.
Sean Payton has a lot of work to do.
Yes, but in the sense that I feel like when you have a rookie quarterback and your team is going to struggle no matter what, it's going to give a lot of opportunities for Bo Nix to go and play probably early.
So do you think Sean Payton will have a honeymoon season? Like, hey, look, we see the variables. We don't expect you to win the division, of course. And they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's why coaches love to pick quarterbacks in the first round, because when you do that, as long as the quarterback is showing promise, and this is why you bring in Sean Payton to develop a quarterback, you're going to get probably one more or two more years to kind of try to make it happen. So, yes, I think, I don't know if they'll have a honeymoon season this year, because I don't think this is going to be a honeymoon type of season, but
he could say, look, I mean, any coach that comes into Denver is going to be hard to deal with, like, the situation with the roster, our caps, salary cap. So you can bring in Bill Belichick. He would probably not have done anything.
Yeah, absolutely. You are probably going to get one more year. But he'll probably get this year and next year, So by the time we get to next year, They're out of a lot of salary cap issues with Russell Wilson, so you're going to be able to spend money in the offseason. You're probably going to have a higher draft pick because your team is probably going to struggle, so you can't miss on that. So you're going to have a lot of building pieces, to play with. So then I feel like next year is the year you're going to really judge Sean Payton if it's, his seat will be warm next year for sure.
Who will finish up top, Raiders or Broncos? I mean, who will have a better season?
I feel like the Raiders have made moves in the sense that they want to win now, and I feel like they have more playmakers.
Not much of a star-headed quarterback, though.
No. I mean, both teams have question marks at quarterback. I mean, the Broncos.
A lot. I've never seen so many.
Question marks they don't have. Yeah. Again, you're facing an uphill battle because by the Chargers bringing in Jim Harbaugh, and we kind of know who Jim Harbaugh is, you took away the biggest, I think, detriment to the Chargers, and that was their coaching, with Brandon Staley. You're going to have a more sound, fundamental team. You have better game day coaching with Harbaugh. You have the talent in that roster.
Experience, experience.
You got Herbert is ready to take the next step. And you got weapons. I know they lost Keenan Allen, but they still have weapons. They were in
Yeah, two
Stanley
good
Cup
running backs,
issues this year.
Edwards.
Yep, I got that right. And so they're gonna have their they're gonna challenge the Chiefs in a sense, but I mean,
JK
the Chiefs are the Chiefs,
Clemens. Yeah. Chiefs signed Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, and it's just the team is looking bright. And plus, their schedule apparently was built. I don't know. They say it was built around Taylor Swift, but they say they wasn't, but I don't believe it.
That's what it is. Is what it is.
Anyways, they do have the most prime time games.
As they should, they're defending
And the
two-time
Jets
defending
too.
champions. They should be on prime time a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens. AFC West for now is Kansas City Chiefs domain. So nothing's gonna happen there. Maybe number two is probably the best. Whoever wins that number two spot in AFC West. All right, almost time to go. Ryan predictions tonight: Mavericks at T Wolves, Timberwolves. Who takes game two? And let's be honest about this.
If I'm being honest, I'm going to say the Timberwolves won game two. It doesn't mean I don't think the Mavericks won the series. Again, if the Mavericks can win tonight, they'll be in great position. But I
Even though
don't.
going 2-0 on the road is still no guarantee, though. We've seen this before.
No guarantee. Yeah, we've seen it before, even in the Timberwolves series. They went to Denver and won the first two games and then came back home and
Was
looked
no
awful.
close games in that series.
Yeah, I mean, other than game seven, no.
Yo, that Jokic and Nuggets is one of the weirdest NBA teams I've ever seen in my life. Seriously. They're not
But I
sexy,
mean,
and they're not exciting.
no, I mean, yeah, they're for the most part they're a good team, and as long as Jokic is there, they're going to be a contending team.
Tomorrow night, game three in Indiana, Celtics at Indiana. If Haliburton's not there, he's not going to be 100%. Maybe 50%. Who takes game three?
I'm going to say Pacers because we're at that desperation point, so
Which they
I'm
were down
going to.
2-0 against the Knicks. They pushed it to overtime game one. I mean, they do have something going on there.
They're good, and you're not here for any reason for us. Just because they're a decent team. They're a good team, and I think they'll come out on top on game three, Haliburton or not, so.
Well, there you have it. NBA playoffs in motion. Who you got? Rangers, Panthers, game two, Panthers at Rangers.
I mean, as long as Bob's in net, Santiago, you got a shot. I'm going to go Panthers.
Panthers have a team built for the playoffs. They just got to this see that
They are,
the team
yeah,
to win it all. That's the problem.
they are well built, they are well coached, and they got good goaltending. So, yeah. So I would say the same thing about the Rangers, too. So it's going to be a good series. I'm going to switch. I'm going to say the Rangers win that game tomorrow night. But I think you're headed to a six or seven game series.
Six game series, of course. That's hockey, and in hockey, home field does not matter as much. They say that's what they say. Anyways,
And actually, it's funny because the rules favor the home teams in hockey. But yeah, really, the stats
all
right
right,
now.
Ryan, Krista, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you, hey, can Bo Nix precede, overcome Peyton Manning's record in Denver?
Mad Dog Report 18. I'll probably say no.
You can reach us at the SportsCast1 on X and Instagram. Also, the sportscast.net will be live tweeting throughout the weekend. A lot of sports. Sports does not stop in June or May. It keeps going. We've got the Olympics. Ryan might watch the Olympics, watch some water polo racing. So we'll see what happens there. But Ryan, I appreciate you coming on to the SportsCast.
All right, sounds good, Tanzania. God bless everybody.
And this was your update.